Open your Bibles, please, to Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. I didn't count tonight, but I noticed this in our prayers, and in our talking, especially in our prayers. We repeated a word over and over again in our praying, and that was somewhere in the midst of that, God bless us. We use the word bless. That's what I want to just talk about just for a little bit tonight. In Numbers chapter 6, down in verse, let's start in verse 22. Just for a little bit tonight. And if you understand that it works both ways, that we need to bless God, and then the Lord blesses us. In fact, more so, the Lord blesses us even when we fail to bless Him. Amen? That even in the midst of everything that's going on in our lives, we claim to get too busy. We claim to not have enough time to worship the Lord. We don't want to take time to give God glory. But God still blesses us. In fact, you're blessed just by being here. You're blessed just when you woke up this morning, whether you were here or not. You're blessed if you woke up this morning. You're blessed. The Lord has blessed you. He's poured out His blessings on you. This is in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. If you have it, can you say amen? And the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them," and this is this is the prayer of Aaron. This is the blessing of Aaron, if you will. A very popular blessing, if you will remember. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." I've drawn attention before to the matter of the definites in the Bible. Not that God says, "I might bless them," not that it's perhaps I'll bless them, maybe I'll bless them when I get around to it. No, God says that I will bless them. I will bless them. And this is the prayer that Aaron prays. And we want to just go to the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we just pray, God, tonight, O Lord, as we just dive just a little bit into Your Word, God, that Your anointing will rest in this place. And God, we pray that as we come around this altar in just a few moments, O God, to pray, God, that we would pray, O Lord Jesus, that You will be blessed, O God, that You will be glorified. But God, we also pray that You will glorify, or that You will bless us as well, O Lord God. We just praise You and give You glory right now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the house said, amen. Praise God. "That the Lord bless thee." Here's the bulk of the prayer. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." What an awesome prayer and a blessing that Aaron prays for his people. If you'll remember that Aaron is the acting high priest at the time in which this time is taking place. And Aaron is praying almost a high priestly prayer, similar almost to the one that Jesus prayed in John's Gospel, chapter 17. He's praying a high priestly prayer, a blessing to bless the people of Israel. How many of you understand that if we would learn how to bless others, we might actually get blessed ourselves? If we would ever learn how to bless others, if we would ever learn how to pray blessings, I know we're exceptionally good that when we pray, "Oh God, that person is on my nerves. Will You do something with them? Oh God, I can't handle them. Will You do something?" And we will pray all about our negative attitudes and our mindsets and everything else that goes on wrong in our lives. But have we ever taken the time to bless somebody? "God, they're aggravating me, but God bless them anyway.
Oh, have we ever tried to do that? God, they're driving me crazy, but God bless them anyway. I need to bless them. You will find, God, that you will feel a whole lot better when you spend more of your time blessing folks than you do cursing folks. You will find that you will spend most of your time happy and content if you'll just live like you're blessing somebody. As the old cliche is, if somebody is aggravating you and if somebody is trying, bake them a pie. If I see a pie, I know that I've aggravated somebody. Bake them a pie. Do something nice. In your prayers, begin to pray for them that God would bless them. That if it looks like that they've got more than you do, and yet and everybody feels this way, but you need to understand, God, keep on blessing them. Maybe they'll recognize the blessings of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. Let's tear this thing apart. Can we just tear it apart and just eat it like a piece of chicken if we can? Here in verse 24. He says, the Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. That God Jehovah bless thee. That how many of you understand that God the Father has blessed us? In fact, Ephesians says that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's because I'm there with Christ and I'm in a heavenly place with Christ. Not where I am physically upon this earth, but where I am with Jesus Christ. Bless God that I know and understand that I am blessed. That I can be in the gutter somewhere and still be blessed because I know Jesus. I can be in the poorhouse and still be blessed because I know Jesus. I can have some kind of difficulty or some kind of problem in my life, but I can still be blessed because I know Jesus. There are a lot of people that are sitting in hospitals right now. There are some of them that all they want to do is think about the doom and gloom and despair of their lives, and they want to think about the agony of their lives. And you know, within a few months, they might be gone. But can I tell you, the folks that last longer are the folks that think to myself, oh God, I know I may have cancer, or I know I may have this, or I know I may have that, but God, I'm still blessed because you're my King, and you're my Lord, and you're my Master, and you're my Savior. Watch this. He blessed us by choosing us. That's what Ephesians says. He chose us, and He adopted us into the family. I was nothing without Jesus Christ, and He adopted me into the family of God. I'm blessed just because I'm a part of the family. I'm blessed tonight just because He justified me and He pardoned me and He had mercy on me, and then the Holy Ghost sanctified me and He filled me with His presence. I don't know about anybody else tonight, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I am blessed beyond measure that God would pour out His blessings upon us. That God would give us everything that we need. Have you ever realized that? If you were to pause right now and think about the life that you're living right now, you would have to say that God has given you everything that you need. Maybe not everything that you want, but everything that you need. He's given you everything that you need. I don't need to ride around in a Cadillac somewhere. I wouldn't mind getting rid of the van one day, but I don't need to ride around in a Cadillac somewhere. But bless God, He's given me everything that I need. He's given me a roof over my head, food to eat, a car to drive. He's given me everything that I need. And most of all, He's given me eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. He's given me everything that I need. He's given me. In fact, the Bible says this in Malachi. Now, you've got to pay attention to the context in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, because it begins with the context of this, that you are to bring all of your tithe into the storehouse of God. If you don't do that, the rest of it is null and void. Woo. He says, if you will bring the tithe into the storehouse of God, He says, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. I know it sounds like a little bit of health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, but no, it's biblical gospel. And that is, when you don't rob God, He won't rob you. When you bless God, He'll bless you and has blessed you and He'll keep on blessing you over and over and over and over again. In fact, He'll outbless you even more so than what you give to Him. He'll bless. He'll bless. Watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 28, because it says this, and all of these blessings shall come on thee and shall overtake thee. Missed it. You missed it. There was a perfect spot right there to shout that all these blessings, I'm going to have you trained after a while, hopefully, all these blessings shall come upon thee and they shall overtake thee. How many of you have ever had a problem in your life? Woo! How many of you follow my line of thinking, all right? I'm a Watford, I'm a left-hander, and my line of thinking goes out the window sometimes, all right? But how many of you, through the problems of your life, have ever said this, God, I don't know how much more I can take. Amen? Now, take that, dealing with problems, and apply it to blessings, because that's what He says in Deuteronomy. He says, God, You've blessed me so much, I don't know how much more I can take, because You keep blessing over and over and over again, that the blessings of God will overtake you and overcome you. That it will overcome you. That God will bless thee. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The word keep there is the word guard. That God, once He saves you, He is able to keep you. Amen? He's able to keep you for a long time. He's able to preserve you. All He does is take the oil of the Holy Ghost, His sealing agent that He uses, and He's able to seal you and preserve you. You don't believe me? Go back to Ephesians again, where it says that God, when I trusted in Him, He saved me and He redeemed me, and then He sealed me by the Holy Ghost. He preserves me. The same God that saves me is the same God that, I wish somebody would get it tonight, that you're blessed. And the same God that started out with you on the glory road is the same God that will keep with you on the glory road. He is able to keep you throughout every kind of situation in your life. He is able to keep you. He's able to protect you. He's able to guard you. Oftentimes when we pray for somebody, especially when somebody's traveling, we'll say, God, put a hedge of protection around them. And we're going to pray that for you tonight. When you travel from over here to over there, put a hedge of protection around you. Bless God. Can I tell you, it doesn't just apply to me traveling to South Carolina or to Missouri. But bless God Almighty, that we need a hedge of protection around us. And God is able to put that hedge of protection around us all the days of our lives. No wonder Satan, when he talked to God about Job, he said, God, I can't touch him. Why? Because you've got a hedge of protection around him. And if God can put an edge of protection around Job, surely He can put it around us. Amen. Watch this. He says in verse 25, the Lord make His face to shine upon them. You need to understand that the Hebrew word for face is panim. It means His presence, His glory, His majesty, His wonder, His might, that the Lord make His presence to shine upon you, that God would just show up and shine His face upon you. Have you ever felt that way before in your life? That when God would just, I don't know how to explain it, Brother Anthony, but it's just like God, when you knew that He was real in your life. You knew like Nicodemus, and like Jesus said to Nicodemus, I can't see the wind, but I surely can feel the movement of the wind. I can't explain it, but somehow I can sense the shining and the presence of the Lord God. In fact, I've learned something in spending a few days outside. I've learned that when you soak up the sun
In fact, some of you from coming from Cape look like that too. That when you soak up the sun leaves a residue upon your skin. If it's out there too much, we call it sunburn. Huh? If you're like me and like Ashley, thank God, then we have that skin type that can tan real well. But what has happened is that the sun, the S-U-N, has left a residue of itself upon you. The same principle applies when the S-O-N shines his face upon you and the mercy of God shines his light upon you. If you're living right and living under the rays of the S-O-N, he will leave a residue upon your life. By God, we need that evidence and that. No wonder when you look at some people that are godly and Christian and say you just have the glow of the Lord round about you. The sun has left the residue upon them. Sun. And you know what? The S-O-N is the only thing that's all right where you can get sunburned. If you want to be too much into Jesus, that's all right to be too much into Jesus. Oh, they talk about the ultraviolet rays and how they'll burn your skin. But can I tell you the rays that come off the eternal sun of glory? It's all right, because if anything, I don't want to look like myself. I want to look like Jesus Christ. I want to look like the sun. Let his face shine upon you. This is what Moses experienced when he came off the mountain and they looked at his face and they couldn't stand to look at him because the glory had come upon his face. In fact, the Bible says that he had to put a veil over his face. Moses being a type of Jesus Christ. You need to understand that when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, there was something else going on in the temple. And that was that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, letting me understand and know that I can come into the glory of God Almighty. Now still the Bible says that no man can look upon the Lord and live and survive. But bless God, I can get just enough close to him where the glory can still rub off in my life. Let his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. What is grace? Grace, by definition, is unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't be wealthy enough for it. You can't prescribe to it. All you've got to do is receive it like a gift. And Aaron prayed for Israel and said, God, be gracious unto them. Because I know that over and over they're going to mess up and they're going to fall into sin. But aren't you thankful for his grace and his mercy that shines? Ain't nobody perfect, pardon my English. Ain't nobody right, but bless God, by the grace of God, I'll make it there somehow. God is gracious unto me, that his grace is there for me. Let his face shine upon me and be gracious unto me. In fact, the Bible says it this way, if I can paraphrase for just a moment, and that is, it doesn't matter what you do at 11:59 p.m. the night prior. But my Bible says in Lamentations, the book that Jeremiah wrote, that his mercies are new every morning. How many of you understand that before you ever got out of bed, his mercies were waiting there for you? That before you ever opened your eyes, his mercies were waiting there for you? That before you ever saw the sunrise, his mercies had already come up and they were waiting there for you? Thank God, he is gracious unto us. He says, may the Lord lift up, I need to have fun with this one. May the Lord lift up his countenance. I'm talking about Israel. I'm talking about talking about lifting up their countenance and the Lord's countenance. The Lord, when you're saved and when you're sanctified and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there's something about being in that family and being attached to God and being a part of God's family that when you lift up your countenance, your facial expression, you'll look like you're saved. You'll act like you're saved. If there is anything I want us to pray tonight, I want us to pray, God, help me at least to look like I'm saved and to act like I'm saved. Amen? That God would raise His countenance and His face upon us that would cause us, well, preacher, you don't understand what I've been through. And you don't know what I've had to go through. And you don't know the adversity and the trials and the torments and everything that I've had to go through. But can I tell you, even in the midst of all of that, God is able to put a smile upon your face. Can I see one tonight? Can I see some smiles on you? Thank you, Brother Rice, right there. That was a good one right there. A smile upon your face. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. At least you're here. At least you're alive. At least you're breathing. At least you're saved. At least you're sanctified. At least you're filled with the Holy Ghost. My God, that ought to bring a smile on your face. Hour of your life. In fact, that's what the Bible says. I'm talking about the darkest hour of your life, that weeping may endure for the night. But what? Joy comes in the morning. Thank God that God would raise up our countenance. And then the last part of the song, or the last part of the prayer says this: and give you peace. That He would rest His peace upon us. That when I lay my head down tonight, I don't have to worry about where I'll spend eternity. That God knows and I know in my heart where I can spend eternity. That's peace. That's peace that money can't. Watch this, because the word give there, it simply means in the Hebrew to put, to place, to, like you were placing together a jigsaw puzzle. Can I tell you, some of you have experienced this, but for those of you that haven't experienced it yet, if you go through a whole lot of mess in your life, God is able to take the broken pieces and the broken fragments and begin to place them together again. Why I know this is true? Because I read where Jeremiah said that the pot, it was marred in the hands of the potter, and yet He took it and reformed it and made it again and put it together, and He made it like He wanted it, just to fit the will of the master. And if He can do that, He can surely put you together and take your pieces. Doesn't matter what it is, it's whether it's from a broken marriage, or a broken relationship, or a broken this, or a broken that. God can take all of the pieces together, because your God, if you remember the one thing they accused Jesus of, it was simply, oh, this is Jesus. He's a carpenter. I wonder if that was by divine providence. Oh, He's a carpenter. Oh, He just builds things. He just puts things together. That's all Jesus is. Jesus is the son of Joseph. And Jesus, all He does is He puts things together. Yeah. When He took two pieces of wood, and when He took three pieces of nail, and He died on the cross for my sin, that's when He put my life together. And that's when He built your life together. Yes, Jesus is a carpenter. Yes, God hung the stars and the moon and the sun and the earth. Yes, He can place everything together. And when it looks like all hell is breaking loose, God can step in and put your life back together again and give you peace. And He said, Lord, bless you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That God will shine. But here's the question. When he does, we need to return thanks to Him and give Him glory and honor and praise.
Hallelujah. Every chance we get. Every chance we get. I remember Brother Thompson saying one time in a message, talked about how the chaos of his conference office work here. He said, every now and then I've got a little egg timer sitting on my desk. And he said, when things seem like they're getting too hectic, it's about a 3-minute egg timer, I push it. And as long as that egg timer's running, I will pause from whatever I'm doing and worship God and give him glory. Can I tell you?